Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. How are you? Boy, I'll tell you, this past week, we spent about a day and a half digging out from 30 inches of snow and 6-foot drifts. And every time we plow the ranch road, about a mile from the ranch house out to the main highway, it drifts shut. So it's been kind of a never-ending saga. And unlike usually, it is not melting quickly. Anyway, been an interesting week. Lots of other stuff going on. Got a great show for you today. We're going to cover a lot of stuff. And I guarantee you, the stuff that we'll be covering, you have not heard anywhere else. You certainly have not heard condensed into the bullet points that you need to know to make decisions about you, your family, your safety, and the country we call America. I'm going to digress for very quickly before we get into the show, and then I'm going to give you the topics. The digression is number one on the books. I'm getting literally hundreds of emails and calls, etc., on when book four is coming out, the long-delayed book four, the schedule for which vanished in the house wreck and truck wreck and whatever of 2015, the lost year. And I wanted to tell you that on the website, www.threadswestseries.com, and I believe you can also get to it with www.itisourstory.com. That is the publisher's website, and starting in about 10 days, they're going to start posting the actual schedules for the releases of books 4, 5, and 6 this year. That's right. Cowboy's going to try and get three of the books out, atone for the lost year of 2015. So for all you folks chomping at the bit, let me tell you, the only person in the world who wants those books, and book four particularly, in your hot little reading hands more than you is me. Can't wait to get them done, and I'm pretty excited about them. And then secondly, along the book line, the audiobooks for 2 and 3 are being uploaded. I've gotten a bunch of emails asking about this too, uploaded to Audible and CDX and Amazon and, you know, all the places you can download audiobooks on here in the next week. And we will be sending out a press release. We will also be sending out a newsletter blast from the publisher's website. If you've not signed up there, the two domains I gave you to go to stay in tune for the release of the books, and now the, shall we say, worldwide release of the audiobooks. You can order them, by the way, right now in thumb drive format. Just terrific. God, they sound great. And the thumb drives are so much better than CDs, you just have no idea. Very cool idea. First publishers in the United States. But you can go to the website and sign up. It'll take you about 10 seconds, literally. And they don't send out much stuff. I mean, if you get something, there's information. This is not yada yada in your inbox every day. It's more like maybe once a month or once every two. And if you see a letter from the publishers, Threads West, there's information that you can use or some kind of deal you can save money on. So you can go to the website, threadswestseries.com, and sign up, and you will get the updates on audios, the books 4, 5, and 6, etc. So, okay, that's diversion number one. Diversion number two. You know, there's a... It never ceases to amaze me how people can ignore what's right in front of their eyes, what they hear with their ears, what they sense, but try and subordinate to something else in their mind. And I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but you know, there are folks who just live in la-la land. And I get emails from some of those folks from time to time, and they're mostly liberals. Remember my definitions. Liberals are those who lean left, are socially, shall we say, soft, and that's not meant to be bad. You know, they just believe in kumbaya, and they love America, and, you know, they like the system that we have. They just want to see it improved. And then there's the progressives. The progressives are communists. In fact, many of the progressives have a love relationship because it furthers their leftist ideological ideas with Islamists. And I have shows on that. Just type in the search bar, Unholy Alliance, and listen to that show. All sorts of facts and figures. I was the very first to say it, as far as I know, of any media, and this is like going back a year, first to talk about the unholy alliance between the extreme left and Islamic Jihad. And of course, we see that coming to fruition, and this is going to get into the show here in a minute, with our El Presidente, or should I say Sahib Presidente. You know, if you don't think this guy, if you don't think this guy favors Muslim over Christian, certain countries in the world over the United States, and one religion over another, then you are simply one of those folks I'm alluding to in terms of you can't see and you don't hear. But we're going to get into that in the show. So here's what we're going to cover today. It's going to be pretty cool. Number one, we're going to cover cover Barack Hussein Obama's appearance at an American mosque this week. My producer's looking at me. No, I'm going to stay away from the politics. Other than to mention one thing, which I'll do in a moment, and that was my prognostications on Iowa and how they actually fared to reality after that election, and what my prognostications are on the upcoming New Hampshire stuff. Now, back to the show. So the first thing we're going to cover is Barry's visit to the mosque. Or, as I read in one article, and I thought it was very clever, the unmasking of the president. That was pretty smart. The unmasking of the president. Great. We're going to talk about that because, you know, there's some things you really need to know about that mosque that you haven't heard on the mainstream media. You've just heard bits and pieces. And what was going on in that mosque the day he was there. All you women out there, stay tuned for that segment, which is first up on this show. Then we're going to talk about immigration and visas. Because, you know, that's kind of dropped off the screen. And what you don't know is that Barry, baby, and his White House clan have basically ordered in the last week ICE and our Border Patrol to stand down. In other words, as of this week, folks, we don't have just a porous border. We have an open border. And it's not being reported at all. It's all drowned out by this political crap. And Hillary standing up there on stage saying she's 100% certain that she's not going to be indicted for committing like 50 felonies and causing people's deaths and exposing our spy network and undermining our security apparatus probably for the next decade. You know, unbelievable. All right. So that's another thing that we're going to cover. And in the course of that... I might just throw a few tidbits your way about some graft and corruption when it comes to the military in the Mideast. I don't know if I'm going to have time or not. The next thing we're going to talk about is some stuff you haven't heard about on the international side, like North Korea, satellite, new ICBMs that can reach the Great Lakes, nuclear strike, Do I have your attention? And remember that, buddy, 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 North Korea and Iran. Well, I tell you what, some of this stuff, it's so obvious when you look at so much stuff like I do every week, and you see all these dots. I mean, if everybody could take a week, everybody in the United States could take a week and just read and listen to and hear and see all the things that I see every week to put this show together for, you know, there's like 30 topics, 50 topics I could have talked about tonight. So I have to weed out those topics and then research those topics. And sometimes they're just like little wisps of a tidbit in some obscure newsletter, one of the letters that I read, that I have to track down to bring you stuff that you don't hear anywhere else that is absolutely critical to your wallet. And I mean, in some cases, life and death. It has to do with the safety and security of you and your family. And all of it has to do with the undermining of this country or the hope for a restoration of the country. All right. And then we're going to talk about the economy, because, you know, it was perfect. I wasn't going to talk about that this week. That really wasn't my basic plan for the show a few days ago when I was starting to put it together. But here comes Barry. Here comes Barry. Or is it Wismo? Oh, no, it's Barry. Here he comes. And what does he say? Oh, those Republicans, those liars, those scum, those right-wing blah, 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 blah conspirators that Hillary talks about. They've been saying that this economy is terrible. And look at this. Look at this. Our unemployment rate went down to 4.9%. And I've generated all these jobs. And everything is hunky-dory and it's rosy. And you know what? We all know that's not the truth. All of us who can hear, who can see, who can listen, who don't live in La La Land. And I'm going to bring you, this is kind of almost the last half of the show as I'm going to spend on this, because there are some things here that will just blow your mind in terms of what's really happening in the economy. And I mean in the last week or two, internationally, which directly affects us, and domestically right here in the United States. Because, and I'm bringing this stuff not to get in the weeds. Number one, some of it's really interesting. Number two, you don't hear it anywhere else, unless you're like a business station junkie. I suppose if you sat in front of the TV all day and watched Bloomberg or Fox Business or CNBC or whatever, you'd probably hear some of this, but not much, you know. But all this stuff is really important. Really important. And some of the facts and figures I'm going to bring your way and the sidelight stories that go with them, I think you will find fascinating. And I think it will underline what I've been trying to tell you for months. Keep your powder dry, folks. Keep your powder dry. This is the time to preserve the capital and wealth you have. It is not the time to go out gung-ho thinking you're going to make a killing, because the killing might not be the killing you want. All right, so that's going to be the show. And I got a lot of comments, by the way, on the adjunct that I did to the AM show a week or two ago, like a third audio bar here on the website. Go back and listen to it. There was some great stuff in it that I didn't have time to fit in the main radio show. And lots of people visited the website. I got lots of good responses. And, you know, I'm going to start doing that more often. Because there's just, I just can't, in 58 minutes, I just can't cover it all. I just can't. And it needs to be covered. And every time I leave one thing out, thinking I'm going to hit it next week, something else comes along in the course of the week, and this ever-increasing, this quickening that we all feel, and I don't have time. So, let's get started on the meat and potatoes of the show, shall we? So, Obama goes to this mosque in Baltimore this past week and addresses the mosque, which was really a lecture to the United States, and he talks about how Muslims have been influential since the inception of America, etc., etc., etc. Well, Mr. President, Thomas Jefferson had the first war between America and Muslims. In fact, radical Islamists, 200 years ago. It was called the Tripoli War, when the United States Navy had to go over and kick butt on the shores of Tripoli, you know, the Marine Corps hymn, sink basically the Moroccan Navy, led by Stephen Decatur, a famous name, although not written about often in American naval annals. So yeah, Mr. President, they've been instrumental, right? We've been at war with them for 200 years. And of course, they've been at war with the West for 1300, and at war with each other for 1700. Seems to be a pattern, you know? 17 centuries kind of tells you what's happening. So he goes to this mosque, and he gives us this lecture. He does not once, not for one second, mention the Christians in the Mideast or the Yazidis who are subject to unspeakable horrors and purposeful genocide at the hands of radical Islam. He does not once in his address, not once, exhort the peaceful and American Muslims, and there are many, folks, there are many, who, you know, Muslims who have moved here, immigrated here, or who have adopted the faith, or who were raised as Muslim, who are firmly Americans, and who instead of Sharia law, endorse and embrace the Constitution. The two are not compatible. They cannot live side by side. It is not a symbiotic relationship. Sharia law is antithesis to American values. And you ladies out there, particularly you liberal ladies out there, or the few progressive ladies who may be listening, if you think all this is hogwash, you better do some research. Because life for a woman under Sharia law is a whole different animal than life for a woman, you know, the so-called war on women, that it is under in our constitutional republic, or anywhere actually in the Western world. Just ask the 500 women, it's now up to 500, just in Germany alone, who have been assaulted or raped by Muslims. Just ask all the people in Sweden and Finland and Norway and Denmark who are now exporting the Muslims which invaded their countries as refugees. Just ask them. This is one of those la-la land things. You know? You ever see that monkey with his little hairy hands over his eyes and then over his ears and then over his mouth? Don't be that monkey, folks. Don't be that monkey, ladies. Sharia is antithesis to what you know as a woman and what you know as women's rights. And, you know, in one, he never talked, not one second, in his sermon, which kind of reminded me of a toned-down version of his sermon to the National Prayer Breakfast a year ago, you know, when he said, "Hey, settle down, Christians, you're just getting what's due because of all the atrocities you committed against Muslims, you know, 1,000 years ago in the Crusades," which, by the way, is historically inaccurate, but put that to, the guy lies, so don't expect him to have his history correct. He never once mentioned the safety of women or women's rights under Sharia law, or in an orthodox or devout Muslim context. Not once did he mention that in his address. And do you know that while he was talking, and this video kind of goes up and down on the web because I think care, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood overt but underground arm that kind of their PR machine here in the United States takes it down or has it taken down. But if you take a look at those videos in that mosque when he was speaking, guess who's sitting in the back? In the back of the bus, all the women. They weren't allowed to sit up front in this mosque. Nope. And you know, this mosque, there are many mosques which are completely filled with moderate Muslims who embrace America and constitutional values. He could have gone to any of them. There's like 2,500 of them in the United States. By the way, that's double the number just 5 years ago. There's been 3 million Muslims that have immigrated here since the year 2000. Almost more than any other sect. Actually, it is more than any other sect. Almost more than any other religion. And this mosque that he chose to go to, I mean, it's really unbelievable. You know, I've told you that he's on the side of ISIS. He wants ISIS to win. They're the freedom fighters. We, Israel, and the rest of the West are the evil colonial powers, and it's social justice, retribution, reparations, and payback time. And everybody laughs at me, and I get all sorts of crazy emails and yada, yada, yada. Well, look, this particular mosque that he went to, with the choice of 2,500 mosques around the United States, this particular mosque, in 2004, the imam endorsed a fatwa which had been issued by radical Islamic clerics who promote radical Islam and radical Islamist jihadi against everyone who is not of their sect and or devout Sharia following. And the fatwa was to kill Americans. That was right from the pulpit in this mosque by the longtime imam. Now, that's not all that's going on in this mosque. You have, in this mosque, you had Ensar al-Shawaki. And I might have pronounced it, but I don't really care. I mean, I really don't care. Anyway, he became a top operative of al-Qaeda. And in fact, this very president, although I'm sure he probably would have averted it, could he have killed him with a drone back in 2011. This mosque is funded by and has ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, the mother of all terrorist organizations, the organization that has spawned Hamas and Hezbollah, the organization that is wreaking havoc with terror in Jordan and Egypt, which, by the way, is under martial law now, which you haven't heard on the news. The same organization that has a number of plants that were planted by this president and Muslim Valerie Jarrett, his right-hand confidant, born in Tehran, Iran, in the security agencies, other departments, and the White House itself, being paid by your tax dollars. Next week, if something doesn't interfere, I'm going to give you, because I've been researching it, I'm going to let you follow the money. Follow the money. And I'm going to tell you about this mosque and several others that are directly linked to financing terror, and are directly linked to getting money from the United States government since Barry got into office through grants. It'll blow your mind. That's right. Under this president, we are financing directly and indirectly terrorism. Never mind the $150 billion that we just sent over to Iran. There's all sorts of skullduggery going on with this man and his Muslim minions, shall we say. his Muslim minions. There's a book, by the way, that's coming out, and you might want to put it on your reading list. It's by Robert Spencer. It's called Subversive Moss. That's Subversive Moss. You might want to Google it up. I'm not sure it's out quite yet, but you might want to get it when you do. Here's a couple facts from a preview of that book that I was fortunate enough to see. And it's really worth reading. It's very well researched. There was 100 mosques. He surveyed 100 mosques. 51% had texts on their websites that advocated violence, jihad. 30% had texts that moderately, by the way, that's, he rated him severe, moderate, and no violent texts. The 51% that had texts, et cetera, on their websites, severely advocated violence. 30% of the 100 mosques had texts that rated moderate in advocating jihad violence. Only 19% of the 100 mosques he surveyed here in the United States, this is all in the United States, had no violent texts or should we say exhortations to jihad at all. 84.5% of the 100 mosques surveyed, the imam recommended studying violence-positive texts. And that mosques which are more Sharia adherent, in other words, the hell with the Constitution, American law, and American and Western values, and hooray for Sharia. Those mosques were 100% more likely to recommend that a worshiper study violent texts than leadership at the non-Sharia adherent mosques. How's that for some interesting stuff? And by the way, the mosque that Barry spoke at has been under surveillance by the FBI. Same FBI that's after Hillary. I don't think Barry likes the FBI much. They kind of get in his way. Anyway, hopefully next week I can get into follow the money on these mosques, because it will curl your hair. And that brings us to, because this is part of the terror problem, part of the terror threat, and part of the infiltration of our country by terrorists and Muslims and other illegal aliens, we get into the immigration thing. So, yes, Barry quietly, under the cover of all the brouhaha in the political scene with the New Hampshire and Iowa primaries, issued an order to have ICE and the Border Patrol stand down. I mean, we basically have open borders right now, folks. At the same time, he is already bringing in Syrian unvetted refugees. He is not telling the governors of the states to which they are going, and the Department of Homeland Security and the NGOs, non-government organizations, and I did a show on this, you can Google it up. You can put it in the search bar. Nobody will tell us where they're going. And by the way, 75% of these people are men. 75%. They are not 3-year-old orphans and widows like Barry has told us, or should we say, has additionally lied to us about. Now, you know, if you really want to change a society, you change its demographics by age, by religion, by nationality, by language, by belief, in this case, Sharia. That's how you really change a society. Remember that promise he made in 2008, fundamentally transform the United States? He wasn't kidding, folks. He's doing it. And he's doing it through immigration. It's not just about votes. And at the same time, he's accomplishing another progressive end, which is to break this society financially. Because these I don't want to call them immigrants, these illegal aliens, these purveyors of foreign cultures, unwilling to assimilate into America, unwilling to be American, even over time, fundamentally changes this country. And by the way, it makes it far, far, far less safe. Just ask Germany, just ask France, just ask Europe. By the way, Germany is going to be spending 50 to 60 billion euros. That's 50 to 60 billion euros on the incredible mess that Merkel, their chancellor, has created over there with 1.1 million Muslim refugees. A euro is about, I haven't checked it today, but it was $1.15, $1.20, somewhere in there. So think about 50 or 60 or 70 billion coming out of your pocket from your hard-earned money and your unfortunately paid taxes to change the very country in which you live and to put your family at risk, along with your entire belief and value structure, never mind, if you're a Christian, your faith. It does not make one happy, does it? So, along this immigration thing, you know, there were several hearings. There have been several hearings over the past few weeks over the visas, and I've touched on this in previous shows. I'm going to give you some more information here. 500,000, this is in congressional testimony under oath by Department of Homeland Security officials, bureau rats. 500,000 foreign visitors who entered this country in 2015 on a business or tourist visa did not leave the country before the visa expired. Wow, that's just 1 year, folks. Remember, in my previous shows, I told you that there was testimony that there was at least 5 million of these people, many from terror-related countries, who have overstayed their visas, and the Department of Homeland Security, despite federal law, has no idea what they're doing and no idea where they're at. Not a clue. Not a clue. Oh, my. Only 3,000, you'll love this, of the 500,000 in 1 year, 2015, that ended 30 days ago, only 3,000 visa overstays are under investigation. 3,000. That's less than 1%, folks. It's like 0.6%. Woohoo. And by the way, the guy that was testifying in this hearing was the assistant director of ICE's National Security Investigations Division. His name is Craig Healy. Craig, I think you need to step up the tempo there, buddy. Of course, you're probably being told not to. Roughly 40% of the illegal alien population that's currently in this country. This is testimony. This is way more than 5 million, folks. 40% of the illegal alien population who came to the U.S. legally, i.e. through the visa program, and have overstayed their visa. Wow. And if you want to take that investigation thing, now it's 1/10. 3,000 investigations is 1/10 of 1%. Of all the illegals in the country who came through visas, never mind across the border, whether north or south, the now completely open border. In 2013, the most recent year that there's public data, our federal government, thank you, Barry, issued more than 173 million, that's 173 million, think about that. The population of the United States is 350 million, folks. Non-immigrant visas. Business and tourist visa categories only accounted for 25% of those 173 million visas. You know, this government seems to be pretty proficient at issuing visas to foreign aliens. 173 million. That takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of organization. It's almost like it's kind of part of a plan. You know, fundamental transformation. So the foreign visitors who overstayed their visa, some of them came from Mexico, some of them came from Canada. Of course, who knows where they came from before then. But 5,000 at least of the overstays last year came from countries that sponsor terrorism. 5,000. Now, we saw what roughly 8 perpetrators and a 25-person cell did in Paris. Did we not? We saw what 2 brothers did in Boston. We saw what singular, either foreign or homegrown, Islamic terrorists have done in other situations. We saw what 2 Islamic terrorists, one of whom came here on a visa, those 2 scumbags, husband and wife out in San Bernardino, we saw what 2 people did there in just minutes. Now think about 5,000 of them that came here under visas issued by this government that are still here who are not tracked. It kind of gives you the willies, does it not? All right. I'm going to give you a quote from the hearing. It is not an exaggeration to say that had such a system been in place, this is a system to firmly control who gets a visa and then firmly control their exit from the country when the visa is done, or to track them down and deport them. It is not an exaggeration to say that had such a system been in place, the 9/11 attacks may have been prevented. The Government Accountability Office, the Office of Inspector General, and the Department of Homeland Security have all recognized the imperative of having biometric exit screening in place. 3 successive administrations, and most particularly the current administration, have failed to comply with the law, particularly the exit tracking part of it. All right. By the way, the executive order that Barry issued, speaking of fundamental transformation, who gives a damn about the safety of the American people, rah-rah jihadis, and the more illegal aliens and foreign influence we have in this country, the more I can fundamentally transform it. Yes, that Barry, our commander-in-chief, the commander-in-chief who won't bomb ISIS's oil fields because there's going to be some smoke, who won't bomb ISIS's headquarters because, gee, a few other people might get killed. Instead, France has to demand the intelligence he had for a year to get it done. Okay, yeah, that guy. Well, anyway, there's more coming out about that executive order I talked about. You can go back a couple shows. I believe it's in the header, so you can find it pretty quick. Here's what we have found out. In addition to all the problems with real visas and the 173 million that Barry and the boys issue last year, he has now signed an executive order that concerns 38 countries, a quarter of which are sponsors of terrorism, and you don't need visas to come to the United States from those countries anymore. I'm not making this up, folks. You can't make this stuff up. For instance, Iranians, Syrians, and Libyans do not need a visa under Barry's executive order of several weeks ago. And that was leaked by a inside the government stool pigeon, or we wouldn't even know it. It really makes you think, does it not? I actually heard somebody, I think it was on Fox, actually, say, gee, whose side is he on? Who does he want to win? Well, I don't know. Good rhetorical question. What do you guys think? And the GOP, you know, pathetic. They're outraged at this information at Obama's visa move. This 38 country don't need a visa, blah, 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 not enforcing the current visa laws, you know. They're outraged. Quote, President Obama is again putting his relationship with Iran's supreme leader over the security of Americans. Another quote, the Obama administration is blatantly breaking the law, a law which the president himself signed. That was Michael McCaul. He's the Homeland Security Committee chairman from Texas. Quote, there's not a difference of opinion over statutory interpretation. It's a clear contradiction of the law and the agreement we reached with the White House, unquote. Hey, Republicans, wake up. The agreement you reached with the White House on anything, particularly fundamental transformation items, money, military, or Muslim, don't mean squat. They're as good as the agreement, quote unquote, that America reached with Iran. It doesn't mean squat. Wake up. Get out of la-la land. Open your eyes and look. Open your ears and listen. You know, why don't you spend your time putting together a special prosecutor and indicting this guy for treason? That would be time better spent than thinking, A, that you can negotiate with him, and B, that you will reach a resolution if you negotiate with him, which is satisfactory to us, the American people, and C, whatever agreement you reach with him and his minions will be kept. What does it take for you guys? We're 7 1/4 years into this guy. You haven't learned yet? Wow. Unbelievable. These same guys, by the way, some of whom were businessmen before they went to the Senate, you know, if in their personal businesses they had a client who didn't pay them, they had a partner who broke the partnership agreement, or they dealt with a vendor who broke the contract, they'd never deal with them again. Right? But they'll deal with this president and his suspect crowd time and time again. This isn't my saying, but the definition of stupidity is repeating the same mistake and expecting a different outcome.